Good morning, girls. This is Darla Shine, happy housewife. How are you doing? Tomorrow is Halloween, and we're going to go and have some fun trick-or-treating, and we're all going to cheat on our diets and not eat healthy, and I know that I'm going to have a few Almond Joy bars. And with me today is a doctor who's not going to be happy about that, Dr. Furman, who all of my moms love listening to you. We've had two interviews so far. This is our third one, so we're very excited to have you back. Is it okay tomorrow if I cheat and have a couple Almond Joy bars?
I guess it's not okay with me. I can't give you authority to do that.
Well, I'll eat a lot of salads. I'll just have one okay. Little one. They have the little snack size bites.
Okay.
I'll probably cheat and have that. But Dr. Furman, today we're going to discuss breast cancer because I've been dying to speak to you about that. And I have this one question before we get into anything else that I have read back and forth, yes and no, and I'm very confused. Should women get a mammography? Should we even get that? Because I just read something on the internet that says mammograms cause cancer.
You know what's so funny? I was afraid you were going to ask me that question.
Well, I'm coming out with the tough one.
Right. You know, it's funny because I was just opening up some files and I was just reading from this medical journal. I just got to read you the title. It says, "Breast cancer screening under 50 called opportunistic and immoral." In other words, there's so many studies throughout the world on the effectiveness of mammograms, and we've hyped this up in this country to make women think that they're saving lives and it's all this, and basically it's just a marketing and money-making scheme by the medical profession, you know, and by the radiology groups and the American Cancer Society. And people actually think that we're winning the war on cancer and that mammograms are the key tool in this fight enabling us to win this war. But, and it's just really silly. I mean, people don't realize what the real science shows and how little mammograms really are. Their effectiveness is so minimal or so slight to almost have no effect. And certainly we're saying in the 30 to 50-year-old age range, the studies show that mammograms almost do nothing. And there's been multiple studies to document that.
Is the required age, I think that what they're saying is to start at 40. Now, I just turned 40, and I actually have an appointment this afternoon for a mammogram and a sonogram. And I'm just waiting for you to tell me not to go.
Well, I can't tell you to do anything. I can tell you this, that if we look at the data, breast cancer incidence has climbed markedly, and we think that's because it's not that it increased so much, it's just that we're diagnosing more of it with mammograms at an earlier stage, so people are living with more, they know they have the breast cancer before they didn't even know they had it. But the mortality rate, the death rate, hasn't changed at all. So mammograms haven't enabled the mortality rate. The mortality rate's been stable. The incidence has climbed.
Right, wait a minute. Excuse me. You have to stop because the hype that all of us ladies are hearing and with all of this breast cancer awareness and the pink ribbon is right. Early detection saves lives. Is this not true?
It's not true. It's just a real – it's just they're taken in by marketing hype. And they really don't study the research. I mean, let me example. Let's look at this. Let me just read this for you, okay? A meta-analysis. The word meta-analysis means they looked at every study ever done, and they found. And here's a major meta-analysis with researchers at the RAND Corporation, a think tank in California. They found no evidence that mammograms before the age 50 saved any lives. Now, that same study did show a slight benefit for women between age 50 and 65, but not below the age of 50. And then they received, there was this conference done in 1997 where they received so much criticism and so many panels of people from the oncologists, radiologists, gynecologists, public health officials, and they concluded that they had criticism of these studies, and they made them redo the studies and look into it further, and they put the best think tank and the best panels together to rethink it, and they basically redid the studies all over again with newer studies, and they came to the same conclusion.
But what is it that they're not reading the material correctly? The radiologists are. We can't trust them. I mean, I just don't understand how it could not save lives if you detect it early.
Okay, well, let's review the data here. Okay, number one, that the time the breast cancer is large enough to be seen by the naked eye on a mammogram, there's enough cells present where the breast cancer has been there more than 10 years. It's already been cancer in your breast more than 10 years. And by that point, most of them have already metastasized and left the breast. So treating the breast after the breast cancer is gone is futile, number one. And breast cancers that happen that early in life are usually more aggressive cancers that spread very early. So a cancer that's diagnosable, visible to the naked eye between the ages of 40 and 50, is usually, that's called a premenopausal breast cancer. That's usually an aggressive form of cancer. By the time it's able to be detected, it's too late, number one. Number two, the cancers that have not spread, usually called ductal carcinoma in situ, those never spread. They're just locally invasive. They never leave the breast. And by claiming they're saving lives by detecting them is a stretch of the imagination. And they think that there are a small number of cases that we're actually helping with early detection. But that small number of cases are equaled by the people that are being hurt by mammograms, either people who are genetically radiation sensitive, where breast cancer is promoted, or that the scarring and biopsying of all the benign lesion makes the breast harder to see cancer when it really does occur in later life, and then it gets detected much later. And also radiation and chemotherapy also damages and kills some people due to problems with their heart. If you factor in all these factors, the people who are hurt by the treatment, the people who are damaged by mammograms, the people who are actually hurt by scarring of the breast, the radiation-induced promotion of breast cancer, and factor that in with the number of the people that are basically helped, they find in these long-term studies that now examine thousands and thousands of people that it comes out in the wash, that it overall doesn't affect overall mortality. There's essentially no effect or the null effect. The people hurt balances out to the people helped, so it's approximately the same.
You know, Dr. Furman, I just want to tell all of our ladies again, we're speaking with Dr. Furman of drfurman.com. I urge all of you to go look at this website. I love this website. Dr. Furman, you have a few books on the market, very popular, best-selling books, Eat to Live, right? Disease Proof, Your Child.
Right.
And this is one question I want to ask you, since this is your field. Tell me if I'm wrong, okay, but this is what I see happening. I don't know of any story, I can't come up with anyone I know who just died of cancer. What I find happens is people get this pain, they go to the hospital, they cut open, and then they die from the cancer. Do you think, and tell me if I'm crazy, that if people didn't touch the cancer and just lived, do you think you have a better chance of just living with the cancer if you just change the way you eat and your
yes.
attitude than cutting open your body?
Well, it depends. I mean, I do think that cancerous tumors should be removed, but in 80% of cases, you're still going to have cancer cells after the, even if you cut the whole breast off, even have a mastectomy, you're still going to have cancer cells in most cases thread through the whole body. I guess the point is that the first question is, does treatment work? I mean, first of all, mammograms only make sense if doing radiation and lumpectomy or mastectomy or chemotherapy. In other words, if current treatment modalities are very effective, then mammograms make more sense. If the current treatment modalities are not very effective, then detecting it early doesn't make more sense. But first of all, I should say that chemotherapy for breast cancer is still experimental, because the agents have a dismal track record in producing long-term survival of more than 15 years. In other words, the chemotherapy has been shown to offer some survival benefit in very young women with breast cancer, because the cancer is more aggressive in that age range, but there's not a significant increase in life expectancy in postmenopausal women who get breast cancer. In other words, if you have an estrogen-positive breast cancer at the age of 60, the data shows that chemotherapy does not significantly extend life, and we're saying the word significantly, we mean more than 6 months difference between those treated with chemo and those treated without chemo. The point is that we have to have a different way of looking at this, and most people are just believing they're just believing nonsense.
Well, and they're afraid. You know what?
That's right.
Let me tell you, Dr. Furman, I've had two lumpectomies.
Really?
When I was 20, mm-hmm. I developed this hard mass in my breast to the left of my nipple, between my nipple and under my armpit, and it was almost like a golf ball, hard as a rock. My gynecologist sent me to the breast surgeon. What did I know? What did my mother know? This was 20 years ago. And they cut it out. It ended up being, I guess, some kind of fatty tumor.
Right.
Okay, so there was nothing. I went on with my life. I had babies. I went to college. I, you know, did my career, and I forgot all about it. Then about 4 years ago, my gynecologist felt a little, you know, lump under my nipple, sent me to the breast surgeon. What did they do? They cut it out. It was
right.
nothing. And now looking back, I'm so upset that I even allowed these things to be cut out of my body, but you're saying that you think that they should be cut out to be biopsied? I mean, what do you
do if you have a lump? I'm not saying that.
Women are afraid. We're afraid, and we feel like we're taking progressive action.
I know. You know, and you know what it's doing? It's directing them away from taking effective action, because they're doing things that are essentially futile in fear, and the things that they can really do to help reduce the risk, they're not doing. And essentially, we're at war against this, and we've lost the war. And sometimes you have to rethink what you're doing and have like a new, fresh way of looking at this, if we're going to – a new, fresh attack on the battlefield if we keep losing.
Okay, so what do you think that attack should be? What should we do? So let's say women say – well, I say I'm not going to go for my mammogram today or my sonogram, because you know what? Even if I go and they find something, I have to tell you, I'm not going to do chemotherapy or radiation. I'm just
right.
I don't think I'm going to do it.
Right. So I'm still recommending lumpectomy. I'm still recommending people who are postmenopausal go take the estrogen-blocking drugs. They have been shown to increase survival. I'm not saying that mammograms don't have a slight beneficial effect in the 50 to 65 age range. I'm just saying before the age of 50, the data shows it's not effective. And, of course, the fact that even though it's slightly effective in the 50 to 65-year age range is really – it's directing women away from what they really need to do to protect breast cancer. And as we know what causes – here's the bottom line. We know what causes cancer. Mammograms are not preventing anything. They're late they're not early detection. They're late detection. They're detecting it way after you have cancer for many, many years. There's about a 30 years of dysplasia before it turns into cancer, and then at least 10 years of having cancer before the breast cancer is detectable. That's 40 years of having that problem in your breast before mammograms can detect it. It's way too late to detect it then.
I think I have breast cancer. That probably was it. 20 years ago, it started in my breast.
Right.
And so I've been living with it. Okay, so now I'm diagnosing myself. I've had the constant pain in that breast, pain in my shoulder blade. So obviously it's in my body. What can I do? What do we do aggressively to change that? I want to know what women can eat, what pills we could take, what herbs we could take. What can we do to live with the cancer that's in our body? Because, see, I am convinced, Dr. Furman, that I have this. Now you said it, now I know it. That makes sense.
Well, most women do have some dysplasia in their breasts that will eventually turn into cancer if they don't do something to stop that change from occurring. And clearly, we're living a diet style that's caused because cancer. So why wouldn't we expect to happen to us what happens to other Americans? What I'm saying is if we have Americans who are taking drugs for high blood pressure and cholesterol lowering, then that's like a permission slip. It's like telling people, well, just keep living the same diet style that caused the blood pressure and heart disease to arise, and we'll just give you a drug to think you're okay, and it'll just keep advancing itself until you drop dead of your heart attack. The same thing is true with the mammograms. It's making people think that mammograms are protecting themselves so they can still, doing what they need to do, not, you know, they're taking estrogen, not nursing their babies, not, you know, drinking alcohol, eating, you know, exposing themselves to carcinogens, and then eating a low-nutrient diet, and of course, in other words, they're not doing what they need. And I'm saying here, because let me make this clear, I'm saying that carcinogens are ubiquitous in our environment. They're in all natural, organic, healthy foods. They've been on the planet for zillions of years, and we're not going to be able to remove the carcinogens from our environment, and that doesn't matter that much. It's that when the body is fueled with the appropriate level of phytonutrients and antioxidants, and the isothiocyanates and glucosinolates found in green vegetables, the ITCs, we abbreviate the isothiocyanates, we call them ITCs, and those nutritional factors found in green cruciferous vegetables show the best ability to prevent breast dysplasia and prevent breast cancer. So here's the issue. If we're eating a diet, like I described in my, you know, a vegetable-based diet as described in my book, Eat to Live, if we recognize that green vegetables are the most powerful anti-breast cancer foods in the world, and we eat a lot of those foods, that's where we can really protect ourselves. You know, they did a study once that showed that women who had a tablespoon of ground flax seeds a day who had breast cancer lived much longer than a woman who didn't take the flax seeds, who took chemo instead. In other words, flax seeds was more effective than chemo in extending lifespan. But I'm saying, let's do this whole anti-cancer diet style. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke. don't take estrogen. Breast, of course, orally or patch. You can take the vaginal estrogen ring or some low-dose estrogen if you wanted to that doesn't expose your breast to estrogen. Have babies, which protect us against breast cancer, of course. Having babies and nursing them. Nurse each baby for at least 2 years has powerful effects at reducing the risk of breast cancer. You know, avoid, you know, don't eat the dairy fat and fatty fish that exposes us to high level of these cancer-causing compounds. Eat a high nutrient-dense diet. Understand nutrient density of food. Understand what foods contain the anti-cancer nutrients we need to protect us, and eat huge amounts of those foods. You know, we have to eat huge amounts of those foods each day.
All right, so let me ask you, Dr. Furman, if, let's say, okay, I know I have cancer in my body. I'm convinced of it. So
right.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to you. I'm not eating that almond joy, by the way. It's off my list. I'm not going to have it tomorrow.
You know, because I tell people, you know, we don't escape from the biological laws of cause and effect. You pay a price from every piece of junk crap you put in your body.
Pay a price. So
you might pay a price 30, 40 years later, but you don't get away with it.
Right. I'm not eating that tomorrow. But let me ask you this. Can I starve the cancer out of my body? If I did have breast cancer, can you change to this diet, change your whole way of eating, eat all the greens and wheatgrass and flaxseed and all of these things that you recommend? Do you believe that, I mean, is it true that the cancer will basically be eaten up and starved out? Because years ago I did read a book, and I don't remember the name, but somebody had written, you know, their personal story, how they had all these tumors in their body, and they virtually went on an all-green diet and starved the cancer out of their body. Is that what happens?
Well, I have to say there have been a lot of documented cases, and so, of course, you know, some people who've had breast cancer who ate high nutrient diet, who ate a very heavy diet, heavy in green vegetables, and I know a doctor who were, you know, I know some people who've done that and recovered from cancer, but I'm not making the claim that all women who have cancer will do that and recover from cancer completely. Cancer is a bizarre and unpredictable disease. And I'm saying that certainly we're going to prolong survival in women who have breast cancer, and we're going to, if they've adopted high nutrient diet like this, but if they don't have cancer, if cancer is in its early stages, then you realize it's not like black and white, like you don't have cancer and the next day you have cancer. There's a gray area of many years where you know, even doctors telling a person when they have cancer, we can't even trust what the pathologist is saying because it's not something that crosses a line. It's like a color from gray to blue. We're saying, is that more blue or is that more gray? Do you think the blue overwhelms the gray color there? It's, you know, think of a color wheel, how the color gradually moves. So we're saying that the more that cell, the less of the features that are definitively cancer, the more chance the body has the ability to reverse it and put it back to normal again. So the earlier in life you start adapting a disease-protective lifestyle, the more dramatic your protection will be. And the later in life, and the more you allow the cancer to become more carcinogenic, so to speak, or to achieve a higher metastasizability, let's say, then the more the probability you're going to slow down that growth of the cancer, but the less probability you're going to defeat it with diet alone. But I'm saying that, you know, do the whole program. It's like, you know, the whole program is like, it's not just green vegetables. It's eating. Women who eat beans every day have a 40% lower risk of breast cancer than women who don't eat beans each day, for example. Ground flax seeds, not the flaxseed oil, but the ground flax seeds have those lignans that are very effective to protect against cancer. You know, we have to do all the right things. Why is there only 1% of women in China get breast cancer, in rural China, and 18% of women in this country get breast cancer? And they move to America. See, we're sold a false bill of goods. The women in this country, they think it's genetic. They think that there's nothing we can do about it. They think nobody knows the cause of breast cancer. They think the only thing you can do is detect it early, and that our God and our Savior is the drug industry, the pharmaceutical companies and our doctors. We hold them up as our gods. We pray to them that they will invent the magic pill that's going to save our lives. And it's a fairy tale. It's nonsense. We have to take the matters into our own hands. We have to live an anti-cancer lifestyle if we want not to get cancer. And the bottom line is it's incredibly effective if you start this young.
And totally preventable.
It's totally preventable. We can win the war on cancer. Nobody has to have cancer. But we have to change the nutritional landscape of America. We can't eat a diet style where 4% of calories come from fruits and vegetables and beans and nuts and seeds, and 95% right. comes from junk food and animal products. We have to flip it the other way.
Well, Dr. Furman, why are you not, and I'm not putting you on the spot, but you or any of the other physicians out there who believe what you believe, which is only a handful, going
right.
before Congress, why isn't somebody down in Washington trying to change the food pyramid?
Well, we are. And, you know, and
do you think
and
it's
I could
possible?
Say that my compatriots have been in front. Well, I think that the food pyramid, of course, when we look at we look at messages coming from the government or from the media, it's tempered with what's acceptable to the social and economic forces. In other words, who are the lobbyists? Who are the political interest groups? Who is paying for the advertisements on air in the in the magazines? In other words, it has to be tempered with what's acceptable to the dairy industry, the drug company, the food technology.
Well, that's my point. I was almost being facetious. No. The fact is, you really couldn't go before Congress because the Food and Drug Administration, they're like the mafia. I mean, they are so powerful, and the lobbyists are so strong that this message is staying out there to keep people rich, the top fat cats rich. I mean, is there any other country that makes an enormous profit off of the drugs the way we do?
Well, it's true, but I mean, clearly, we are not focused in this country on preventing disease. We're focused on treating it at late stages and giving people the idea that there's nothing they could have done to prevent it. And I'm saying that we know what causes heart disease. Nobody has to have a heart attack. You don't have to get strokes. You don't have to get demented. And you do not have to get breast cancer, colon cancer, or prostate cancer. And people have to, for those, you know, and I want to have an army of people who disease-proof themselves. And I think it's so silly that we die of these diseases and we worship the drug industry and the medical profession as our savior. It's crazy. It's just, we have an insane society here.
Okay, so let me ask you, and if I went today for the mammogram, the sonogram, and they say, okay, we see this huge tumor, you have cancer, and they see it, all right? And if I don't go, and I didn't know I had the huge tumor or cancer and didn't see it, the end result basically is going to be the same, isn't
it? Well, you would have, if you had a huge tumor, would you needed a mammogram to detect that?
I would feel it.
You would have felt it, right?
Right.
So is it it has 120-day doubling time. So does seeing it a little earlier before it gets to be so you could feel it, you know, does that really saving lives? And here's what we're saying, that in the 35 to 50-year-old age group, the breast tissue is too dense. You can't find very early cancers in that, because your breast tissue doesn't soften enough where mammograms become more effective later on, and you know, once you're over the age of 50 and gone through menopause. So we're just exposing ourselves to radiation, you know, year after year with very little effect to diagnose. You know, and people who were exposed, obviously, to radiation, you know, carry the gene, it's called ataxia telangiectasia, the AT gene, which makes them unusually sensitive to the radiation and x-rays and five times more likely to develop breast cancer if they had those mammograms. So, in other words, it's a complicated issue, and clearly, I don't want to get women upset or anything. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm just reporting what the medical and scientific
right.
literature
ladies,
shows.
And we're not telling anyone not to get a mammogram. We're just putting out this information, and, you know, we're not saying not to get it. You should do whatever you feel comfortable with. But, okay, here's another question for you, Dr. Furman.
You know, so I'm saying that it doesn't really work that well. And most people, and it's this hype to think that it's saving so many lives. That's what I'm disagreeing with. And obviously, whether I do recommend people because of the slight advantage in the 50 to 65 range gains. But even then, it's so slight. The point is we're directing all this energy to mammograms instead of what we can do to really fight, really win the war on cancer.
All right, but let me ask you, as a physician, why is there not a blood test that can be taken? I read about this, is it HCV or HGH? Whatever hormone you have when you're pregnant, the only other time you would have that hormone in your body is if you had cancer.
Well, it's not true. These tests that enable you to detect cancer are only appear in the tissues, in the bloodstream, very late in the process of cancer. They're not early detection tools.
But wouldn't it be no different than having the mammogram, however, right? What's the difference?
Well, they think mammograms are a little better at the possibility of detecting it earlier, through biopsying it than these tests in the blood are. But, of course, we know that we eat a diet very high in, for example, cheese, which promotes IGF-1. We're increasing our risk of cancer, a lot of saturated fat in the diet.
And especially non-organic dairy. Let me tell you, Dr. Furman, I took my children to Busch Gardens this summer with my husband, the kids in Virginia, and all I saw was these 14, 15-year-old girls walking around, and they are stacked, Dr. Furman. The breasts on the teenage girls are tremendous nowadays because I believe they're eating all this hormone, steroid-infected dairy, cheese, milk, and they have these gigantic breasts.
Well, I'm telling you it doesn't matter whether it's organic or not. That if you eat whole fat, in other words, cheeses and butter, which is full of saturated fat, we know that saturated fat in conjunction with low nutrient intake, creates a favorable environment for cancer to spread and for cancer to develop very rapidly. And the earlier in life, you know, you do it, obviously, the higher the risks here. So clearly, organic dairy is still, but by the way, all organic dairy still is exposed to PCBs, DDTs. It's these things are ubiquitous in their environment. They come down in the rain. They're in this grass. They're all over the place. And even the FDA suggests that they're transmitted to humans in the fatty portion of milk. That's where we get most of them. You know, so we're this growth promoting dairy based diet leads to early puberty in our children, early development, more rapid growth, and it sets the stage for a breast cancer prone and a prostate cancer prone population.
Okay, so we want to tell our moms right now, I want you to give us the basic things we need to do to stay breast cancer free. Tell us, so you said earlier, give up coffee. Did you say give up coffee?
No, I didn't. I said don't drink alcohol.
Okay, no alcohol.
No smoking.
No smoking.
No estrogen pills or estrogen patches.
Well, what does that mean? Are you talking about birth control?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Birth control pills and birth
control
patches.
What about this baloney that the gynecologist is saying now when they give out the pill? It's a low-dose pill, and it actually prevents uterus cancer.
That's because the progesterone, well, keep in mind
that. But they're trying to trade cancers with you.
Yeah, they're giving you a pill that pervades the whole body in estrogen. It's still not the same thing.
Okay,
it's much more estrogen than you would have had naturally.
Okay, so no pill. The patch, I think the patch is terrible. In fact, my friend who's an attorney, I'm having him on tomorrow, he has so many lawsuits against the patch. The women are dying. 20 women died last year from the patch.
The estrogen patches they give for is horrible. It exposes you to even more. You can't control the estrogen. The pill gives you a little less exposure, but the most safest estrogen is, of course, the NuvaRing, which gives you the lowest systemic exposure to estrogen if you want to use a birth control. That's the safe. It's like 1/5 the blood level than the patch and the pill.
Okay, so
and I don't have anything to do with NuvaRing. I don't get paid by the drug company. I have don't make money. I'm just saying that, you know.
Okay. Okay,
but in any case, better if you didn't use any of that. And of course, having babies lowers your rate of breast cancer. Nursing your babies decreases the risk of breast cancer in the woman doing the nursing and the baby being nursed.
Okay.
Simultaneously. Avoid dietary carcinogens, which are primarily found in dairy fat and certain fatty fishes, too. You know, eat a diet we call vegetable-based that if you're using, it could be flexitarian or vegetarian. We're using animal products in small amounts in your diet. But you have to eat. You know, as defined in my book, Eat to Live, I think you should definitely read my book, Eat to Live, so you understand the concept of nutrient density, which means that we're trying to understand what foods have the most anti-cancer nutrients in them, so you can base your diet to make it an anti-cancer diet. And then we're talking about green vegetables, berries, nuts and seeds, especially seeds, like flax seeds, chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, you know, to make sauces and dressings with seeds in them. Of course, beans, making a vegetable bean soup every day, having a nice bowl of soup with a salad for lunch. Of course, take a multivitamin, get nutritional completeness. Make sure you're taking a little extra selenium, zinc, iodine, and chromium, you know, in a good multi. Take about at least 100 milligrams of DHA a day. Use DHA is that beneficial fat you get from fish, but you can get it in a non-fish source.
Okay.
And I make a very, you know, that's very beneficial. I make a vegan-based DHA, which people can look at drfurman.com, which is made, which we refrigerate from the day of manufacture. No rancidity, no smelling like fish, no burping. It's a very elegant DHA supplement that's clean. You can give it to your kids to increase intelligence, and it's just great for the brain. And it has lower risk of cancer, too. Use a tablespoon of ground flax seeds in your oatmeal or in your salad dressing or in your shake every day. Exercise at least 3 hours a week. Maintain a lean body mass. Don't grill or fry foods. Obviously, make soup. Make your cooked vegetables should be in the form of soups or steaming. It shouldn't be for you drying, baking, browning, and darkening foods. And I'm saying if people adopted this high-nutrient diet style and they knew what caused the cancer, we would see cancer take a dip. You know, keep in mind, only 2% of the American population had heart attacks 100 years ago. Today, it's 51% get heart attacks and strokes. Only 6% of women got breast cancer 100 years ago. Today, it's 18%. Only 2% of women in rural China get breast cancer. In areas of the world, Tibet, you know, and what's it called, Mozambique and Cambodia and Fiji Islands, there's much, much lower rates of breast cancer. It's not genetic. It's the diet we're eating. We got to put this in in perspective. And this should be on the front page of the New York Times. This should be, it should say, you know, childhood diets create adult cancers, breast cancer. You know, it was so funny because last year they paid $6 million to splash on the front page of the New York Times an article that said diet does not prevent breast cancer. Because they tested women at the age of 60 who lowered the fat intake in their diet from 29% to 24%. They didn't really follow women who increased the phytochemical index of their diet.
Right.
They increased the cruciferous vegetables in their diet. They didn't have them take flax seeds and walnuts in their diet. They didn't have them cut out eating, you know, they purposely set the study up so it wouldn't show anything because of course it was funded by the drug industry. They want to show that diet has no role in protecting against cancer.
Right. Well, ladies, you can take matters into your own hands. Go today to your food store. Go to your health food store. Get these items that Dr. Furman has suggested. Go to drfurman.com. Order his book, Eat to Live. He has wonderful recipes in that book. Start to live healthy. And, you know, Dr. Furman, I love everything that you say. And I hope that I can encourage more women to talk to their friends about this, to get more people on board, to stop smoking, to stop drinking, and to start eating healthy. And ladies, watch what you give to your children. Dr. Furman, you know, this is the first time I've heard anybody say this, Dr. Furman. Today, this is the first time I heard somebody say that when you have cancer, it actually started 30 years ago.
Right.
Nobody says that.
I know. The women are they're just in the dark. And they read what they believe, what they read, and it's all stuff fed to them. It's like we're living in an Orwellian, you know, comic book or something. They're just believing what the masses. They'd be herded like sheep into the mammograms, not thinking they have nothing they can do to protect themselves except run in
sad.
To get radiated by mammograms. You know,
it's very sad. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Furman. We're going to have you on regularly, ladies. Go visit drfurman.com. And I don't think I'm going for my mammogram today.
Well, go forget some bok choy and broccoli and
broccoli,
make a nice soup.
I'm going to go to the health food store instead. I'm going to do a couple of shots of wheatgrass. I'm going to get the ground flaxseed. You know, I usually sprinkle the flaxseed on my salads, but I haven't tried the ground flaxseed.
Yeah, if you sprinkle it whole in your salads, it'll pass through into the toilet bowl. You won't absorb it. It has to be ground so you get the full benefit absorbed.
Okay. I'm going to do that. And, you know, I have to tell you, Dr. Furman, real quick before I let you go, I just want to know one more thing because I still once in a while drink some coffee. Is that okay?
It's okay if you just drink one cup a day.
One cup a day. It's organic.
Okay.
One cup. All right. All right, ladies. Dr. Furman, thank you so much, everyone. Go to the health food store. Get on board. We are going to save our breasts. And, Dr. Furman, we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Terrific. Have a great week.
You too. Bye. All right. Thank you, Dr. Furman.